We are here at Experimental Design Lisbon 2009. It's the 10th anniversary of Experimental Design. And this edition, it's about time.
My name is Konstantin Görcic. I'm an industrial designer. I live and work in Munich in Germany. I am in Lisbon for the second time since 1999, the first Experimental Biennale. And I'm here because I gave a lecture today, and I'm part of one of the shows, which is in fact the show where we are. This exhibition, which is called The Pace of Design, looks at design studios around the globe on different continents, and in a way taking a look at just how the day in each of these studios is structured, how people work, how different they may work, and what are the similarities.
I'm Paola Antonelli from the Museum of Modern Art in New York, and I am here at Experiment. I'm invited by Guta Muragedesh to give one of the open talks. And the people that I invited today and that I spoke with are Neri Oxman, Kevin Slavin, and Oran Katz. And what they have in common is that they're all mutant designers. And the reason why I decided to invite them is because I wanted to show to the audience here that there are new avenues for designers that sometimes are self-designed, but that are true possibilities for the future.
My name is Neri Oxman. I am a PhD candidate at the Computation Group and the Department of Architecture at MIT. I am completing my PhD this year in design and computation. And what I do is I look into form generation processes that are informed by material properties and behavior. And I try to integrate computational algorithms with the physics of materials and implement those ideas in the context of sustainable ecological design. The message, there were a few big messages, I think, that we tried to communicate today. One of the big messages, I think, what I've tried to highlight as ask not what science and engineering can do for design, but what design can do for science and engineering. And in a sense, what this means is attempting to view design as a catalyst for innovative ways of thinking about science and engineering. And not only operating at the service of engineering and science, but actually promoting new ways of rethinking and revisiting scientific phenomena. So that was one sort of more methodological, pedagogical message. In terms of my own work, the message was this, basically. The set of work that I've shown culminated in an idea I've entitled Nature 2.0. Basically, this idea is about questioning what is it about nature that we could use in terms of sustainable or green or ecological design. What is it about nature that doesn't work? So in extracting certain principles from nature and applying them in design, there are certain limitations that we as designers need to understand. And I'm trying to define them as this Nature 2.0 initiatives.
I'm Michael Young, and I work in Hong Kong. I got a studio there with about 9 people. Been there for 3 years. Used to be in London, got bored and left. I'm on an adventure. I was invited to Experimenta to do a couple of things. One of them was to give a lecture about Chinese manufacturing, because I'm living there, I know a little bit about it, and a lot of the products I'm doing are about to come out to Europe from China after 3 years' work. And also involved in a project called Pace of Design, where somebody went around the world looking at 7 different studios, and mine being one of them, and examined how we worked in the studio and the personal relationships we have with clients, with time, with everything really, the general fabric of the studio. Yeah, having worked in China, I've had to develop my own skills and approaches to actually making things work. There's this Chinese saying which is 1% idea, 99% work, which maybe goes a long way to explaining why maybe design is not respected, and actually industrial work processes, the cost of materials and labor is actually what values design. I've had to find quite unique ways of challenging that and putting value into the creative work that I do. It's taken a long time. I had to start off by explaining to companies the value of design through media. I had to take a project. I had to record every single bit of magazine coverage you've got in each country and equate that value to the value of advertising in that magazine. So when a company now comes to me and asks what I do, I can say, well, I can design and sell, but I can also do this. A necessary evil, as I see it, but an essential factor as, you know, the world develops and people begin to understand what you can do with design. Because, you know, different cultures don't necessarily understand what good design is. You know, a lot of good ideas may come from Shoreditch 20 years ago. They were evolved through humor and street culture and street life, and you can't just expect a culture to understand that. It's impossible. There's nothing wrong with it. You just can't expect people to. You can't explain it either. It's a notion, it's a sensation, it's a feeling. One of the first things I did in China, I was actually spending a weekend in Hong Kong, and I was on the Star Ferry going from Kowloon to Hong Kong side, and this guy came up to me who was a bit of a design fan. He had taste in European design, and he'd noticed some media I had in some Asian magazines, and he happened to have a watch factory, and he just came up to talk to me and said, look, you know, I've got this watch factory, do you want to do a watch? I won't charge you, I just really like your work, and I want to see if we can start to work together. So of course, I've never worn a watch. It was a dream to design a watch. And I always remember, actually, when I worked for Magis, Mr. Perazza gave me this watch designed by Castiglione, and I said, if I ever could design a watch, I'd love to do one with a canvas strap, a real working men's watch. So that was really my approach to do a working men's watch. I designed it in Brussels in about a minute. I was so excited. I had, you know, 15 years worth of energy. Sent the drawings. And then about 8 weeks later, I went over to Hong Kong again, and there was the watch. They'd paid for the tooling, and said, look, you know, here you are. And I just started to make them and give them away to friends. And it became really popular, and all of a sudden, you could buy it all over the world. And I actually ended up accidentally setting a company up manufacturing watches. And now I have a watch company 3 years later with a range of about six watches about to come onto the market. So I guess that's quite magical to know that anything can happen at any point in time, but that couldn't happen in Earl's Court. That's the magic of this environment. It's a workshop, you know. China is without doubt, it is definitely the workshop of the world. Everybody uses it, and every minute that goes by equals money. There's no doubt about it. There's a very sophisticated set of equipment. It's not a callous mercenary comment. It's actually the reality of running a company. So when I work with Chinese companies, they fully respect the decision to work with me. They don't question my decisions. It's a team. You know, they're doing the they're doing the engineering and the development of the project. I'm doing the design. There's less room for poetical politics and emotions to get involved in the design. So between me and the object I'm trying to design, there is almost nothing. When I work with a European company, there is a whole set of agendas which I consider to be obstacles in the beauty of the design process. They're people who are employed by companies, who have their own opinions, have their own emotions. They may not be right, but they're actually just simply defending their position on this planet, which is not the true agenda of product design. I mean, it's not something that is new. This has happened throughout history. But what the beauty I have is that I do not have those obstacles, because the structures of companies aren't the same. You know, so if I can sell a product, they don't care, they'll do it. The true value of product design is the creation of economy for me. You know, I used to be, I definitely was guilty of doing things for the wrong reasons when I was younger, but I think everyone's got to do that. You've got to get into a magazine and shout about, we all have to. But I think now, having understood that my product goes from the drawing board, it goes to support the engineers in the company, it goes to work to the factory floor, it goes to help the people packing the boxes, delivering it to the shops, working in the shops, supports their families. And that is really the true value of industry. It's, you know, a support system for the human race. It's not anything other than that. Of course, it's a very sophisticated organism, and you can play with it.
My name is Hans-Marie Eichen. I'm the curator of this exhibition, Lapse in Time, and also a designer and professor for design at the German University. The idea of this exhibition is to present very high individual work of young designers from not only from Europe but from all over the world, knowing that, or in front of this inflationary situation in the industry of this kind of mainstream tendencies, and also in front of the revival of a certain arts and crafts movement, which gives new opportunities for the students, or for the designers, for the young designers, to not to go to China or not to go to any cheap production country, but to look for their own production around themselves, so they somehow create their own private collections. And it's very heterogeneous. It's not a homogeneous kind of trend thing. It's everybody has his own trend. The major thing is that we are crossing borders. Most of the people are interested not only in a new variation of an existing item, but creating some new connections, some broader broader kind of corporations. So we have a few designers, they work with cognitive sciences, they are involved in research with biologists, others they touch more the anthropological part, and then of course also two or three of the examples, they don't care about this distinctive form and function on one side, they are really including artistic movements. So what is of course also an important factor, that we are living in this overproduction, we have done too much of the same stuff. So I think this idea of doing less but better also shows that the results are becoming different, and they're becoming more more also socially involved. I give you a last example just to show what kind of business design has become. That today we have 95% of the designers who work for the product's needs of about 5 to 8%. So this is a misrelationship, and I think there is no excuse of not having any potential being used in this free area, in this free space. And through the recession always helped creative people to come out. The industry needs a new kind of culture, so it's not only the concept of maybe a new system of educating designers, but also talking and thinking with the industry about a new industrial culture.
Well, my name is Nacho Carbonet. I'm originally from Spain, but I'm based in Eindhoven, Holland. Right now I'm here in Lisbon in this exhibition that is called Lapse in Time. The theme of this exhibition, I think, like, it was about like make the public aware or think about like how fast nowadays mass production objects go. So here we just group some of the designers that just we are kind of like just also thinking about this craziness or this matter of. Of the speed, no, of production. My pieces in particular are like representing also a bit this aspect of slowing down the production to really have like a quality that all the other projects we think we are is missing.
Hello, my name is Pieke Bergmans. I am from Studio Design Virus. I'm from Amsterdam. And at the moment, I have just installed a project in Lisboa for the Experimenta. I've done an installation with Blue Foam together with Pieter van der Jacht. What we've done is we constructed a cabinet and we have treated it with heat, found the biggest oven in Holland, and actually we have baked it. So we actually are exhibiting today a series of baked cabinets, and they are extremely blue and bright and got some beautiful melting edges and details. Yes, it's very inspiring, the entire show. It's called The Lapse of Time. It's interesting. It's a combination of different designers from all over the world. We have all been invited. And all together, it tells a beautiful story. Well, to me personally, for this piece that we have designed, Lapse in Time means that we found a method, or actually developed a material, which is so easy to form, and the process is extremely quick. So just to construct this cabinet, I mean, that takes a little while. It has to be computer cut. And then it's being baked in the oven. And that's kind of like a really interesting and beautiful process, of course. And so you're really waiting before your cabinet is done and finished. That's the time, my time story.
Well, we are Studio Glithero. We're a London-based partnership, half Dutch and half English. And we're invited to show work in this exhibition called Lapse in Time. And yeah, we decided to show one of our sort of more ambitious designs. Maybe you can tell a bit about it.
Yeah, it's ambitious, but it's in progress. And it's a project called The Long Drop, which is a tall casting installation that consists of a mould which we brought in pieces from London and assembled in the space. And then from a point in the air on the top of a ladder, we poured buckets of a polyconcrete down the slide. The best way I can describe it is that it's like pouring cake mix down a helter-skelter. It's a material that's sort of thick. It can be thick and it can be runny, and we've been pouring it in buckets for a day until it fills up a mold from top to bottom. And it then goes hard and it behaves a little bit like plaster. And it goes rock hard, and then we disassembled the mold. So what we're left with is sort of a path that traces the journey of the fluid through the mold to create a table.
Yeah. Which is most importantly, it's a table in the end. So we take all this effort standing on a ladder and casting by gravity to eventually make a table. And maybe the concept behind this piece is that we have had some experience with making installations that conceive of design products, and we were really enjoying the public facing aspect of it, and then having a design product out of it for the consumer as well, that fitted for us in what design could be nowadays. But now we wanted to really try to merge those two things into one. So have an installation that was also a design product at the same time. And so we had this idea, like, what happens if we want to cast a table and we only design the mold? And we don't actually design the table, because the we can't predict how the concrete is running down and how it sets and which sort of drips it gets, where the spills are and the leaks. We can't predict that. So we don't feel like we design the actual table, but we design the variables.
We're always trying to sort of capture this moment when something becomes what it is from nothingness or appears. So we're trying to kind of create that moment in the purest gesture. So in this case, it was a motion of just pouring and seeing what happens.
And you can see in the materials is perfect for it, because you can see in the material what the movement of the material once was at that moment, that it froze into becoming a table. And that's, I guess, what we really like. And we're always looking for these kind of materials or techniques or phenomena in physics. And we use these things as design tools.
To give you a little background to the exhibition, it's we met Hans in Milan, and we were talking a lot about our work, and it all seems, a lot of our work is relevant. There's always a timeline, there's always an idea of a duration, And what we've brought here to Experimenta is actually an experiment. It's where we are in developing an idea that will eventually be a lot bigger. Here it sort of exists as a standalone sculpture, but our intention is that we can create a path, a pouring channel, that has a much more intrinsic relationship to a building, so it can wrap itself around windows and columns and be on a much grander scale.
And maybe also become like a communal table. So the actual public that has once been a witness of the making of this design object can also enjoy sitting on this object later. It can't leave the space anymore because it's too big to get through the doors. For me, that's a really important fact, because almost all the design around us is created to fit in trucks or lorries to be transported to the consumer, and therefore designed accordingly. So it's been flat packed, or you can stack it. We want to try to think about other ways than this consumer way of thinking. And so still do something that is for everybody, but not by thinking about transportation, cost efficiency, that kind of stuff.